especially the Pentecostal fire, somehow, some way, somehow, is opening its spiritual doors of belief to a lot of corrupted system of divination. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. It's opening its doors to a corrupted system of divination. And this thing is not something that is new. It was there of old. When we were growing up, we heard of Mozamadisco Cristo Church. We heard of, a whole lot of things. And
Aladura,
yes. And as time goes on, they seem to have dissipated over the period of time. But suddenly, they are back. Now they are more bold. What they've done is that the way they started as a serpent, now they've become dragons. Hallelujah. And they have nicely mixed with the system of church. Amen. They've nicely mixed with the system of church. So you don't call them, we don't call them leaders of the spiritual church or whatever. We call them pastors. They are called apostles. They are called prophets. They've taken upon themselves the names that God has given to the church. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because there is a season globally, and any spiritual nation would be part of it. There is a season that we've entered into, and there is a womb of time that has opened that many believers will come to the truth. And when I say the truth, not what used to be before, but there's a great light that God is revealing to the church because of the end time that we are entering into. Now, this is bigger than you praying for your car. This is bigger than you praying for your marriage. This is bigger than you us praying for anything that is personal. But in as much as that is the case as well, God is also aware that we need those things, and so he will make provisions for that. But I want you to tell you that all of these things are part of it. So those of you that are here who are Ghanaians, as we pray in this month, I want you to be very fervent with us everywhere. Be very fervent. Maybe what I'm speaking of, other churches or other nations or other countries, you'll see similarities of some of these things happening. But maybe it is just that we do not know. But I want us not to take some of these things for granted, but then be able to prepare ourselves, because there are so many things that God would want a generation to have, that when we have leaders or teachers who stays in this form with that kind of light, then you know that the issue is not even concerning the current generation. The issue is that the enemy is trying to work ahead of himself 100 years. Hallelujah. So this seed that we see, is because the enemy is planning towards something great. So we might think, this thing has popped up. Yeah, this thing has popped up. It's not about the day. It is not about the day. There is a seed being sown for a greater time that is coming, so that many of our sons and our daughters that will be born years ahead of us would have to suffer some of these things. So what we are dealing with is a time dispensation where the enemy is sowing some things into the womb of time for manifestation. I want us to read a scripture in the book of Hosea chapter 13 from verse 12 to 14. Hosea 13 from verse 12 to 14. I want to teach you something very simple, because I would love us to pray like the way we pray. I don't want to say a lot here, but we are teaching a subject where I have a lot to say about it. But let me show you something here. Everybody that is here, listen to me. Is the Hosea posted there? Hosea chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. I read. The Bible says that.
Hosea chapter.
Yes, please go ahead and read. Go ahead and read. Preferably the Amplified.
Hosea chapter 12.
13.
Okay. Hosea
chapter 13. Sorry, 13, verse 12 to 14.
Okay. Hosea chapter 13, verse number 12 to 14. I read. The wickedness of Ephraim, which is not yet completely punished, is bound up as in a bag. His sin is stored up for judgment and destruction. The pains of childbirth come on him, but he is not a wise son, for it is not the time to delay his chance at a new birth. As the womb opens, but he ignores the opportunity to change. Shall I ransom from the power of Zoo, the place of the dead? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O soul, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes because of thy failure to repent.
Good. So God was speaking concerning Ephraim. Here we are taught of a spiritual mystery here concerning womb. Okay. God was speaking concerning Ephraim that there is a punishment that has been laid out for Ephraim as part of his sins. But what has done to him because of his sins and the cycle of his punishment is that it has blinded Ephraim to the opportunity of the womb. God works with us according to the womb system in manifestation. How? The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 that God said to Jeremiah that before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. What God is saying is that God is not saying that he knew Jeremiah in the mother's womb. That's not what the word says. Read it again. He says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Not in the womb. It is likely that normally when you read this scripture, you would think that God is saying that he knew Jeremiah in the mother's womb. But no, he said that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. He says, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you to make you prophets to the nation. Now, so that means that necessarily this statement here, God is not saying, dealing with Jeremiah concerning the womb necessarily, but why is it essential that God is mentioning the womb in relation to how he knew Jeremiah? The womb and the knowledge that God has with Jeremiah are two different things. But God is bringing the womb scenario here for us to understand that when it comes to things that would manifest in the domain of man, there is the cycle of the womb, and that God can have something that is pre-planned. It has not entered into the ears of any man. It has not been seen by any man. It has not entered even into the realm of manifestation. No prophet, no great so-called prophet, whatever it is, has seen and been able to pick up. This is why we say that the destiny of men are not in the hands of another prophet or so who can just stand somewhere and say something because they might see something in the spirit. In the spirit too, there are hidden things in the spirit. The Bible says that when Jesus was born, Satan employed of Herod to know where Christ was. He was hidden. So there are things that are hidden in the spirit. Say there are things that are hidden in the spirit. But what makes the subject and the system of the womb very serious and dangerous at the same time is that whenever God is ready to bring into manifestation whatever his intentions are, his plans are, he goes into the system of the womb and he plants what he wants to come into manifestation in the realm and in the domain of man. So God was telling Jeremiah that before your mother thought of having any sexual intercourse with your father, you were like a thought, a dream that has never even existed. But he said that God, I knew you. You and I had an appointment. I gave you a set of appointment. You need to come into the realm before the womb. It is very important because if you concentrate on the womb, you might not be able to take the seed. So you realize that, yes, a woman might want to have a baby. A woman might want to give birth. But a woman is concerned about the kind and type of man that he wants to have the baby with. Is that not it?
Yeah.
There must be a love appointment. Or some even want their babies to. So they look for a certain type kind of man that they want to have the baby with. Somebody say appointment before the womb. So there is a relation to the womb. The reason why I'm placing emphasis on this before we come to Hosea is that, listen to me. This is why myself, Pastor Nam, Pastor Lord, we are fervent in this season. Why? Because we are entering again into the cycle of the womb. And you need to understand that prior to the cycle of the womb is the relation that existed before the womb. And the relation that existed before the womb, for most of you, just so it becomes practical to you, is your January, February, March, April, May, June, July that we had. The point is that what were your interactions with God before you entered into the ninth month? So if you have been dealing with certain things that you have been, to you, you've been struggling with, you've been trying to, it's that is a time of appointment, that is the time of relation with God. God is saying to Jeremiah that I had a thing with you, I had a thing, it was my will. But watch this, that in the season behind the scenes of the womb, where Jeremiah knew God or God knew Jeremiah, in a season behind the womb, Jeremiah's will did not have any form of preeminence. There is nowhere Jeremiah had the ability to speak to God and say that, don't form or fashion me to be a prophet. Everything that was done in that realm or in that season was according to God's perfect will and order. So in that realm, he forms and fashions everything according to his will. There is nothing tempest with it. There is no greater power, authority on high that has the ability to be able to temper with that season behind the womb of the scene. So I'm drawing your attention to an order of perfection concerning your life. Now, we are not speaking of Jeremiah. We are speaking of you behind the scenes of the womb. We are talking about you. This is where a lot of us seems to miss it. Look, you've not failed. You've not lost it all. Why? Because there is a cycle of the womb. It's about to come again. It's about to be opened again. There is a cycle of the womb. There is a divine intent of God that is not futuristic. There is a divine intent of God that, as far as God is concerned, it was established before God had any ordinances with the womb. Listen very carefully to me. It is very important to God. He made Jeremiah aware. He said that, yes, maybe you might boast of the womb. You might think that your mom gave birth to you. That's why I gave you this destiny and maybe made you like this, give you this person to marry and did. Forget about all that. Your appointment and sanctification, what sets you apart and give you that empowerment, has no human influence in it. It's not because you know they see you. It's not because you know this, that is not. It is a divine appointment that is there for you before you came into manifestation. And as being in True Light Ministries, I'm taking you behind the scenes where that becomes your focus, because that would aid you into opening your womb of vision, your womb of destiny, your womb of traveling, your womb of prayer. It will give you that mandate. Because look, if God didn't have an intent for us, why do we bother about the womb? Because the mandate of God is stronger than the womb. Why do I say that? Listen, Sarah's womb was dead. Is that not the case? According to the Bible, Sarah's womb was as good as what? Dead. But there was a seed of word that had life, that was far potent than the death of the womb of Sarah. So when God spoke to Sarah concerning her conceiving, she laughed, because it is impossible as long as the system of the womb is concerned. Because there are times in our life that the cycle of times and life or the things that we have been through would make it look as if that every prophetic thing that we have heard concerning from God, concerning our lives, they are laughable. Look at your age. We will mock you if you tell us that you are one of the millionaires of this age, and we are telling you that, oh, how old are you? You are 50. You are telling us about millionaire. When are you going to be this kind of millionaire? But what you need to understand, that the womb can be dead. The potential to be a millionaire can die. But there is a seed of his word behind the scenes of the womb that has the ability to bring back every dead womb back to life. That is what God was speaking about concerning Jeremiah. Romans 4 verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb was in a place of deadness. I those of you that are coming into the revelation of this word, amen is a revival of a womb.
Amen.
Your amen is a revival of the womb.
Amen.
Amen.
So God is having a dealing with Jeremiah concerning the womb. And you are in place of Jeremiah. You should take Jeremiah out of. We are speaking concerning you. Whatever trouble, whatever thing that Jeremiah was going through, God was affirming Jeremiah that, you know what? Forget about appointment. I, Elohim, I had a divine appointment for you that cannot be contended for. But it was before the womb. It was before the womb. What can you think about? What word of prophecy have you received that has not come into manifestation? I don't intend to say a lot here, because we want to have a consistent praying and a revealing nature of the word of God with us. What have you heard? What has God told you? But it shifts here where it comes to the place that in Hosea, God is telling us that when God's appointment was in place, Jeremiah's mom had the opportunity of conceiving a prophet that God has appointed to the nations, and God brought her forth. Her mother brought him forth. Jesus Christ, same, had to come through the channel of the womb manifestation, because after God has set his appointment and his ordinances right, he must use the system of the womb. So God was speaking to us in Hosea concerning the system of the Yes, to Ephraim concerning the system of the womb. Ephraim that God was talking about was not a woman that needed to give birth. God was not speaking concerning him having a womb, but God was speaking concerning the different dimensions of cycles in our life. Destiny, the destiny of the womb opens up for us to be able to give birth to things that God has given us chances and opportunity for. But in the verse 13, the Bible says that the pains of childbirth come on him, not she, come on her, not the woman, no, him. Every person that is listening to me, you carry a dimension of spiritual womb in every facet and dimension of life. Your academic life has a spiritual womb. Your financial life has a spiritual womb. This is why sometimes people have abused the system of sowing seed in church. But it's one of the greatest systems of invoking your financial path when it comes to coming into certain domain of manifestation of financial wealth. And unfortunately, some people have abused it. And when you bring them into a church where you will not ask them for money, but teach them that there is a pain of childbirth that tells you that this season I must give, I must do this. They are not used to that. They want where we say that I see 10 people here who are sitting on the head of horns, flying with 10 angels. They've entered the clouds. And then when you tell you this fancy stories and that it give, then you see them running because what are you doing with an angel on clouds? Where are you? Where are you going? Where are you taking your CDs to? Who told you heaven needs the CDs? Then you would want to come and give. Bible says Jesus entered a church where a woman in her widow's mite, without even being asked for offering, gave out of the need of the little that she had. That time was the end of her poverty. I said that time was the end of her poverty. You know why? Jesus announced her as the richest woman among the millionaires that came that day. He said that amongst all those that have, this woman had given more. You think that woman left? I tell you that to this very day, if you don't know, the mystery of that woman is that her descendants are enjoying a great amount of wealth that has never been known ever before.
Yes.
She sowed the seed that took her family out of lack. Because tell me, all the great men that came there, she was ranked among the best out of them. People don't know how to give in church these days. Unless the pastor needs to find a way to, you know, turn their heads and turn their before they. But that's not how we give. So if you don't see us ask for offering often here in True Life Ministry, don't know we can't do some of these hoodious things though. But it is not the truth. That's not the light we carry. We believe in fact, God says that before you come into the house of, you must prepare an offering. You prepare an offering to give. You must be ready to have an encounter with the womb of your financial destiny. And it's not even about the amount. It's about the intent.
Yeah.
So we normally, when we go to church, if you look at the order that was there in the olden days, we don't ask for offering, no.
Yeah.
It is an ordinance that you, the one that is coming, you know. Sometimes, even where the bowl is, nobody goes there. They just go and put it there, and they come and sit down, listen to the word of God and go. The heart posture towards offering gives value to the money you are giving. It's not the money that gives value to your heart posture. We have turned it the other way around. Somebody say the womb.
Blessings.
The womb.
Say the womb. But this Ephraim's case is very dangerous for me because the Bible says that the pains of childbirth will come upon him, but he will fail because he's not a wise person. For it is not the time of delay. It is his chance of a new birth because the womb has opened. This is why we are here tonight. This is why we are here tonight. We've entered into the ninth month. Everything that we have gone through, we are expectant of the signals of childbirth. They must come upon us.
Jesus.
The signals of childbirth. The signals of childbirth. Somebody say the signals of childbirth. If you will be able to take advantage of the cycles of the opening of the womb, one of the key things that any mother would need is one, or any person that wants to bring forth what they've carried is one, the signals of childbirth, and two, the strength to give birth. And this is my concentration tonight. We want to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How does the signals of childbirth look like? The signals of childbirth are divine opportunities that God gives us, but our eyes do not see. The signals of childbirth are divine connections that God gives us, but our eyes do not see. The signals of childbirth are the very moment, curious moment in life that God gives us and say, do this, don't do that, go here, don't do that, don't do that. I mean, the moments that are supposed to define, but we don't see them. Sometimes it's not even in the happening of things. There are moments, get up and pray. There are moments, keep quiet, don't speak. Curious moment. But you know what? Let me tell you the truth. When the cycle comes and you are not able to give birth, what happens is that you are abort that cycle. So many people have gone through the cycle of aborting divine moments of manifestation, because it is in the realm of the womb that that divine moment of manifestation is seen. Once you pass the realm of the womb, then birth will take place, and then we can see what you were carrying. But there has been so many spiritual abortions amongst people. One, because when the signals came, they didn't see it. If the signal comes and we see it, or if the signal comes and you are able to perceive it, your relations with men will change. Ask any pregnant woman who have had a signal that her water has broken and that she needs to go into labor. She has no shame of her husband, has no shame of her doctor, does not care who you are. Just go into panting, groanings, and like everything possible to bring out this baby. But believers today are not. I mean, what do you want us to tell you concerning you groaning when you've carried the signal? What do you want us to tell you concerning you putting away anything that be? Nothing is a distraction to the woman that has entered into labor. Nothing is a distraction to her. Her dignity is not a distraction to her. Her pride is not a distraction to her. She doesn't care who will see whatever it is. That day she must give birth. How many of you are in labor? How many of you are picking the signals? And this is not birth, though, so don't expect that your lower abdomen and in between your thighs and your pelvic bone, you're going to feel anything. This is something that is incubated internally by the spirit. You should be able to know that you have entered into a season that there is no turning back, there is no going back, there is no distraction. No more fall. Some way, somehow to tempt gender. So there's no lies, there's no lie. Those things are no more.
Amen.
There's no slumbering.
Amen.
Somebody say there's no slumbering.
There's no slumbering.
Jacob, by divine appointment, knew concerning the word that had been spoken to her mother Rebecca. Jacob knew that, no, my mom has told me that there is a prophecy ahead of me that says that I, Jacob, though I am the little one, I'll pick up the head. So I'm looking for an opportunity where I would exchange the birthright. And the day that the brother Esau came home and said that I was hungry, Jacob said that this is my season to give birth to my word, to my birthright, and that I am in a position to exchange it with the food that I have. How does a man contain such dimension of wisdom and say that spiritually I'm giving you food, but pronounce to me that I've given you my birthright? Don't mind him, it doesn't matter. Yes, I've given it to you. That is how people have exchanged divine destiny at divine appointed time. You spoke certain things, you said certain things, you acted out of anger in certain things, you've destroyed some certain ancient boundaries and things that were established for you. You've appointed that divine moment. You've sold the birthright. You sold the birthright. It is in the womb of another person that is ready to give birth to it. And Jacob proved beyond all doubt against his carnality and his flesh that he was ready, to the point that he so battled with the angel concerning his birthright until his name was changed to somebody that has the ability to carry what was in his womb. He was never ready to give up. When Jacob carried the birthright of his brother, this was a spoken birthright, but yet spiritually he believed that he had become the senior brother. And for him to sustain his own life, he left the house that were full of thousands of sheep, thousands of cattle, thousands of servants. He left it. Why? Because he wanted to carry in his womb a seed that he believed it is the pinnacle of all blessings and empowerment, and that he does not want to abort it. Many of us do not believe in our so-called spiritual life that we even live. We don't believe, because when do you really believe that God has called you to be a true prophet? Do you believe that God, what dimension of struggle, fight are you ready to go through in order to see this? Some people, when they fall, that is end of their pastoral calling. Who told you that God didn't know of you that you fall? He told Peter that, look, you, Satan has sought this to do with you, but I prayed for you. Who told you that your fall is greater than the calling of God? Who told you that your mistake is greater than the... He knew you. Who told you that your inabilities cannot give you that job? God told you, you'll be a doctor, you'll be a nurse, you'll be a pastor, and I wasn't really, I'm not sure if I can do it. It is not you can do it. Go and do it, because there is a prophecy that had gone ahead of you, that in the moment and in the season of you walking in that dimension, strength from on high will be given to you. Even Christ Jesus, that said that he would do the will of the Father. In Gethsemane, it took divine empowerment for him to carry on. So who told you that you will not need a divine empowerment? Who told you that you are assured from the beginning that you have all that it takes to accomplish the things that God wants you to do? Who told you? Who told you? Jacob left believing that he carried a blessing, only living with a staff and a few patches of food and whatever it is. Some of you will stay in the house. Father, I'm not going anywhere. I need some of the sheep. I won't live anywhere. Analogy has become a distraction to the point that we are not able to see signs of betting. Hallelujah. We are entering into prayer. We want our eyes to open like Jacob. We want to be well, we want to be very alert. Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Watching and pray so you don't fall into temptation is also watching and pray so that you will seize every opportunity that God brings your way. Watch and pray. Somebody say, watch and pray.
Watch. Amen.
Every woman that enters into carries labor, enters into labor or carries a seed in the womb and go through the seasons of time, and does not enter into a season where she begins to feel that there's contraction begin to take place, dilation is taking place, and there is an opening happening, what happens is that you go overboard your time and appointment of giving birth. And spiritually, most people have gone overboard. The cycle has repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. You will keep attacking that destiny. Why? Because when the opportunity comes, you don't feel it. You don't know that you are this. You are... Any woman that begins to feel that they're about to give birth, they start packing things. They start getting prepared for things. They start doing this. They start. What is your? Where is your sense and your anticipation of a womb that is engaged in giving birth? Things must change around you. We call it the womb of time. Why? Because when the womb has entered into this season, the time dimension means that there has to be a change of environment. Things around you must change. You can't be gossiping with a woman that is in labor. She doesn't care. You probably put it on last speaker. I won't be gossiping again. She's busy giving birth. She's busy giving birth. Mako dasuta la baba la bara 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 ba. Jadura badala babara babara bara bara ba. Sheba bala bara bara ba. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray. There is a potent seed for your womb in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray concerning every signal. God, open your eyes. God, open your eyes spiritually. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Your body should open. Your spiritual receptors should open in the name of Jesus in a different dimension. Spiritual receptors should open. There is a prophecy over you. It must come to pass in the name of Jesus. To the glory of God, all your receptors must work to the glory of God. You must carry them, you must anticipate them in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Open your mouth and pray. Shabbat shalom. 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 Shabbat sh Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, unmute yourselves and pray. We are praying our last prayer. But this last prayer we are praying, which will be these two prayers for the next 3 days. Any pastor in True Light that is here, I want you to carry that topic. The first one, which was the signal, the second one we are going to pray about is strength.
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, 15 to 20, something took place there. It's strength, but not just strength. It is strength that has beauty and splendor. Somebody say beauty and splendor.
Beauty and splendor.
Let me explain this thing to you. You know, there are two angelic hosts. There are two angelic hosts that ushers every birthing of the womb into manifestation, and they are called beauty and splendor. It is according to the glory of God. I reveal this to you. They are angels. You know, Jesus says something about us, that anybody that is born, he didn't say he has one angel. He says their angels appear before the Father on a daily basis. You probably don't know, or you are not conscious of it. But every single morning that you wake up from today, when you pray, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I give assignment to my angels. Let them bring to your presence the things that are supposed to happen for me. Then begin to name them. We've fallen outside our supernatural life because we want to live our supernatural life in spiritism, but without the true knowledge of the word of God. Please, I want somebody to read Exodus 1, verse 15 to 20 for me in the Amplify. I want us to look at something and we would pray finally. There is strength, but there's excelling strength that God gives us to be able to bring forth. It's accompanied with two strong angels. They are splendor and they are glory. Who is reading for us? Exodus 1.
Exodus chapter
yeah.
1. Exodus 15. Yep. 15. Then the king of Egypt.
Yep.
Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shephra, beauty, and the other named Pua, splendor.
Somebody say beauty and splendor.
Beauty and splendor.
Okay. They were the midwives that stood at the gate of the womb. They brought the heroes of Israel out of the womb. They were the midwives that ushered Moses into his manifestation. Though there was a death assignment, the fear of God in them was greater than the fear of man. This is not human beings we are speaking of, because in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh is a god. Please keep on reading.
When you act as midwives to the Hebrew woman and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God with profound reverence and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but they let the boy babies live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and allowed the boy babies to live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth quickly, and their babies are born before the midwife can get to them. So God was good to the midwives, and the people of Israel multiplied and became very strong. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the strength that was revealed in the midst of the people of Israel was as a result of two divine, you call women, but they were angels that God brought out of the camp of the Egyptians to assist the Israelites in delivering their heroes. If not for these women, Moses would have died. But it was God's ordinance that splendor and beauty would accompany anything that is given by God into earth. And it is strength. It is divine. It is fearless. You don't understand what it means to not fear Pharaoh. You don't understand what it... Look, there are midwives here in this current age that we live in. People will give them common money and they will kill other babies for people to go and do juju.
Yeah. Yes.
These people didn't receive any money, but they have fear of God. And the fear of God, the reverence of God that they had, was the strength of the Hebrew women. It was the excelling strength that was passed on to these Hebrew women. And it stood at the gate of the womb, a splendor and beauty, welcoming the heroes of the womb to life, defying every other form of a god that lived, and they were protected. We need strength. Somebody say, we need strength.
We need strength.
We pray in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice. Our last prayer. In the name of Jesus. Father, grant us excellent strength. In the name of Jesus. Splendor and glory. Grant us in the name of Jesus excellent strength. With splendor and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for you in the name of Jesus. Whatever you've been beaten for, beauty is bringing it into manifestation. Whatever you've been waiting on God, beauty is bringing it into manifestation. In the name of Jesus, we pray for you in Jesus' name. Who are done in the name of Jesus? the living God is bringing it to manifestation in the name of Jesus. Excelling strength, excelling strength of delivery, in the name of Jesus. Let it be multiplied on me in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Listen, I don't need to tell you to fast.
Yes.
The dimension of knowledge that is entering your soul and your spirit, I don't need to tell you to fast. I don't need to tell you to go on 7 days fast or what as we normally do at the beginning of the month. But we are fasting. Before we even come and declare that we are fasting. Hallelujah. Those that have delayed birth or have not gone into labor, you are induced. And if it is a spiritual thing we are dealing with, then you need to end, you need a realm of spiritual inducement. I'm not going to tell you, go and take one cocoa from here, throw it here, throw it that, and your vision will be better. That's not what we are talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not what we are talking about. So please make sure that you prepare yourself to enter into this realm and season that we are talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So officially or unofficially, we are fasting. We are inducing. Me, I have delayed manifestation of things in ministry. I do. I don't know about you. I do. And I need to induce them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I need to induce them. I don't know about you, but you, if you are dead serious about being in labor, study what comes with this woman. When a woman is in labor, study what comes with them. And Ashley, bring yourself into that realm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful new month. And in the morning, we are through. We are praying. We are not speaking a lot when we come in the morning, but we are seriously praying about these two things that we've mentioned. And we must be dead on serious about them. I want to commend and call all of you to be part of it. And any season of womb or birth you enter, may God bless you with it. Amen. Jackie, amen. God, may the excellent strength of God visit your orphanage. Those of you who don't know, Jacqueline Shibalira has an orphanage in Kenya where she looks after the palsy, you know, those with autism and palsy and all that. If as a ministry, as we grow in strength of wealth, these are some of the people we would love to give to. Hallelujah. And amen. strengthen the hands of their work. Amen. It is such a dedicated work. Amen. And like I said, our doors are open to welcome any form of giving, donation, tithes, offering, whatever you would want to commit to. We make sure that they go towards some of these most important things. They are the primary things that we need to look after first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. Pastor Lord, I hand over to you. We are done. Blessings.
Amen. Amen. God bless you so much, Apostle. We appreciate the time. God bless you for the word. God bless you for the enlightenment. God bless you for the wisdom. Thank you so much. Beloved, God bless you for connecting. I see Gache Valentine. Selom, Gache Valentine, Selom, God bless you for joining us this evening. I see Farhat Bibi, Farhat, God bless you for joining us tonight. God bless you so much. Farhat Bibi, God bless you. Gache Valentine, Selom, God bless you so much. Beloved, tomorrow morning we'll be here. So please don't come alone. This month, something must change. Yes, we come with an expectation. As the man of God said, we should come with an expectation. Yes, and the Lord will be ready to respond to us. Have a good night. See you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Ghana time. The time is already spent, so I don't want to go beyond the time. Have a good night in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.